Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
I'm wondering why that intro always ends in a crash.
Yes.
Maybe you can't hear a waving of a checkered flag or, you know, fans cheering. It's always a crash. I don't know.
That's why it ends.
Not too positive. I'm J.J. Nunn, and you're tuned in to OnWheelsNow.com. It's Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. For those who don't know, here in Las Vegas, we hold the Races Roundtable Radio, where race car drivers and race fans and race officials just shoot the breeze talking about racing. And I'm your host once again, JJ. Along with me tonight is Mr. Gary Riott. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Wife got out of surgery today.
That's good.
Yep. I was 50% successful and 50% unsuccessful.
Yeah?
Yeah. Finally, they removed the foot from her mouth, but they left the tongue intact. So you can't win them all.
You can't win them all.
You know, it's like mixed emotions. It's like your brand new Cadillac going over a cliff. Like, oh no, but your mother-in-law is driving it.
Yes.
So, and along with us tonight, we have Mr. Mark Allison in the studio. How are we doing, Mark?
Good, good. Admiring your story about your wife. I'm sure you're sleeping on the couch for a while.
I've been sleeping on the couch.
He don't get the couch no more. He gets the doghouse. The dog gets the couch.
Hey, them dogs, I'm going to tell you, my dog's got some nice beds in them houses, man.
They eat better than you.
They eat better. They're dealing with filet mignon, and I'm getting hamburger helper. Okay. And a special guest, Mark, you want to introduce a friend of yours that you brought in that you've known for a couple of years?
Yeah, Joe here with Sigma Racing. Joe and I go back how many years,
16
Joe?
Years or so, Mark.
Mr. Joe Ferrey. And 16 years. That's where you got started, Joe?
16 years, and I'm pleased to say that Mark was one of the first racing characters I met here in Las Vegas. I came from out west in California and brought a modified along with me and ran into a couple characters in the pits, and it's been fun racing ever since.
Okay, my deepest sympathies, and I'm sorry to hear that. Your association with Mark.
Used to, whenever the phone would ring, it would be Joe. I'd always tell Dan, your son's on the phone. Dan kind of adopted Joe over the years.
Oh, yeah. You bring that up. He had some good stories at Dan's funeral.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe spoke at Dan's funeral, and he had some funny stories.
Yes, he did.
Well, to get off, Joe, where did you first start? Watching racing, or you know, when did you first get in the car? You know, what turned you on?
You know, JJ, I was just a young kid, probably 5 years old, and my dad was a mechanic nut out in the garage, always tinkering, and had done some you know, hard top racing back in the days. And so I was probably five, and they took me to Petaluma Speedway to watch the hard tops in the dirt, and I think I was hooked. I was hooked from that point on.
Really? That's Petaluma Speedway?
Petaluma Speedway back in the day, and you know, I just remember being a little kid, and we'd show up in the parking lot, and the mud would be coming over the dirt boards, you know, and I'd start walking faster and faster and faster, and I just couldn't wait to get in to watch those cars race.
How long did your father race?
My dad raced back when he was younger, and then there was a period of time between his racing and then us growing up. But I would say we were race fans from the early 70s all the way through my graduation in college and 1990, and that's actually when I started my own driving career in racing.
Did you ever get into your father's car at one time for a race in between that period, or?
No, you know, I think my dad was smart enough to recognize he had a kid that couldn't handle balancing like college and education with racing at the same time, so he kept me on the straight and narrow up until about 1990 when he couldn't just hold me back anymore, and he said, hey, let's go racing. So that was it.
I tried.
That's great. And when did you meet Mark? You said 16 years ago?
Yeah, you know, I came out here from California, and I couldn't believe that this was the first half-mile dirt racetrack I had seen. I'd been running modifieds out in California since 1990. And
What tracks did you run out there?
All
pavement?
That's a great question. Actually, I was a dirt track driver.
Really?
Start off King Speedway in 1990, my first race in an IMCA modified. And the first car I had ever driven as a race car was an IMCA modified. And
No street stock, hobby, bomber, nothing progression. It was right to the modified, huh?
Right to the modifieds. And I used to tell my dad most of the guys that were passing me were going backwards. I really wasn't going forward. They were just going backward at the time.
Wow. And how long did you run at Kings? Was it just Kings that you ran at?
No, I spent about 2 years, 3 years at Kings Speedway. Then my job was in Sacramento, California. And my dad was a fireman, so we had the ability to travel. So we kind of moved the race operation up to Northern California. I started running tracks like Placerville Speedway. Actually, Sacramento opened their dirt track for a year or so. We raced. Oh, you name it, from Antioch. I think we've counted 30 tracks in California that we ran with the IMCA modifieds alone.
Really?
Yes, yeah. We did a lot of dirt race. I was really a dirt racer prior to... At heart, and I still am, believe it or not.
Still am.
Yeah, I love it.
Wow. That's a lot of time and a lot of tracks. Major accomplishments up there, or...?
Well, I'd say that,
Minor accomplishments.
Accomplishments. We were finished a lot of races. I think I won 4 races in a row at Placerville back in the 90s and racing against.
This was in AMCA mod.
Racing against Mark Welch and Troy Shirk and Daryl Shirk back in the days, and racing seemed real simple. We loved it, and I used to joke that I had a little motor that it just ran out of breath right at the end of the straightaway, but, I mean, it was the perfect little motor for Placerville Speedway, and we just we did real good up there.
And I mean, not to jump out of order, have you been on dirt out here at all recently, past couple of years?
You know, I think the last year that I drove a dirt car was about 2003 when I left the IMCA stuff and kind of ventured on to more asphalt stuff. But my heart, don't tell anybody this, but my heart really still lies in dirt track racing. And I'm lucky to have friends like Mark Allison and, you know, God rest his soul, Dan Geiger. They remind me of where I came from and what racing really means to me at heart.
Now, those years that you were running in North Carolina, is there any real door rubbing, fender bending, hard racing competitors that you can recall? That there always seem to be cars that are almost the same or drivers as similar that at almost every race you're side by side with them. Do you have any of those competitors you remember?
I'm sitting next to the guy that I would call my best competitor and probably a guy that was a better driver than I was. I refused to give up trying, but, boy, he sure schooled me on some of these dirt tracks here in Nevada all over. He was a guy that said, Joe, we're packing up our cars and we're going racing. And, I mean, we traveled everywhere from Arizona to Southern California. I mean... Mark really was the one that taught me about tour racing, and believe it or not, we were doing it in modifieds before people, you know...
Even knew what the tour was.
Yeah, and we were doing it. So this gentleman here is really the guy that taught me, and never touched my door, but I'll tell you what, he knew how to make the last lap count, darn it.
Now, you ran a similar in some mod that Mark does. Mark, describe your car that you run for our fans out there. It's not... You're normal in Samad.
No, I still run the leaf spring cars. I like the leaf spring cars. They fit my driving style. And they're they're competitive and win today. I'm probably the only guy that can do that. But and Joe run the bar type cars, the different car, and they fit his driving style. There was times I saw Joe do some amazing stuff with them cars. But yeah, it just it fits my driving style. I like them. I keep hounding Joe to go get in one of my cars one night. Just go have fun. No pressure. Just go drive the thing and have fun.
That was my next question. Have you guys ever swapped cars or, you know, ran a Lee Spring car, Joe?
I've never driven one of Mark's Leaf Spring cars. I've certainly used a few of his motors from time to time. But I'll tell you what, it's really funny. We used to joke that Mark used to say, Joe, you're one of the fastest guys I've met on a tacky track. And I used to tell Mark, I don't know how you've mastered the dry slick. And that was really the distinction between our two styles. You know, he really loved the dry slick, and I hated it. And when we'd go down to Paris Auto Speedway, you know, it'd tacky up, and I'd be fast. And he'd say, just wait till the main event, Joe. Just wait till the main event. And we had a lot of – we ran door-to-door I don't know how many times. And it was really neat to see the two different driving styles and the way the different cars worked. And Mark and Dan really were the guys that took me from being good at modifieds to really understanding what it took to be great at modifieds.
Well, that's, you know, Mark within himself, you know, it's fantastic watching him. I enjoy watching him. I can relate with our bombers. You know, racing, like Mark says, it's the same principle. You know, you're accomplished, but just to see how a leaf spring mod works up against these bar cars, it's just, I learned so much from Mark just watching him, you know. It's a big difference, and I'll admit it. Gary and I'll admit it. Tacky tracks don't help us when it goes when it goes dry slick. We're in our element, you know. Just like this past weekend at Pahrump Valley Speedway, that track, you just wait, and I know what that feeling is. We're sitting up there and saying, "Hey, it was a pretty tacky heat race this past Saturday," and we're just looking at the track, and we're just seeing it glaze over, and I know that feeling, Mark. Yeah. Just wait until that track comes to our cars.
Yeah, just be patient, and it'll come to you. Yeah.
Mark Allison was the only guy I ever saw run a sway bar on a dirt track, and I just could not get over it. I had dabbled in some pavement and the modifieds up at Altamont on the half mile, and, you know, we were obviously running sway bars, but here this guy comes out, and I see him putting a sway bar on his modified, and I'm just, you know, baffled at how in the heck can this guy do this thing. And, you know, I'll never forget, Mark Allison was the one that told me, we were down at El Centro, and I don't know, I was chasing somebody, couldn't get by him, and he says, I watch your guys' front tires. I said, well, Mark, how in the heck do you have time to even look at anything else besides just keeping your car straight? And he says, Joe, you'll learn that if you watch that guy's front tires in front of you, you can tell whether he's tight or he's loose or where he's going. And to this day, I finally came up to him and I said, Mark, I get it now. You know, when we're racing, I'm watching that guy's front tires. I'm seeing if he's got a push or if he's loose or if he's just holding on and we're just going to track him down. And this is the guy that, you know, shared some of those secrets with me.
Is that right, Mark?
That's
you,
true.
You spilled the beans to help them out?
Yes, I did.
Get them going?
Yeah. I was always real open about talking about our setup or driving and, you know, things you learn driving. Dan was the opposite. He wouldn't tell anybody anything. Dan would make Joe work at something. If he was going to teach him something, he'd make him work at it. But we had a lot of fun. We had some fun races at El Centro, some fun races at Paris. I mean, Joe and I had a good time racing against each other.
So you've done a lot of traveling, put a lot of miles, the both of you, you know, towing together. And for how many years did you actually, well, go on tour without going on tour?
There was about, 2 to 3 years that we kind of raced around together.
Yeah.
And like Joe said, we'd hit the tracks here in the Southwest. El Centro, what's one?
Paris.
The one up in the mountains? Verona.
Verona. That's right. We went to Verona. We went up to Hawthorne, Nevada.
Hawthorne, Casa Grande.
Fernley.
Reno-Fernley. Yeah, we traveled around to most all the tracks in the Southwest here.
Yeah, for Gary and I, we started having fun when we started traveling. That was back in 09. There's, you know, just something about it, rolling into a new track and the excitement and seeing other cars. And I think, Mark, you had said at the show, you know, as far as seat time and getting better and racing instead of just 10, 12, 15 races at one track, you're putting in 30, 40 races a year. You want to restate that comment?
Yeah, seat time is just one of the most valuable things you can have in racing. And from 2000 to about 2006, I was averaging about 50, 55 races a year. And we would go, like, to Victorville, and they'd have, like, 18 cars, and I'd start in the back in a 25-lap race and win it. And the guys were there like, man, how do you get so good? I said, well, you're going to run the 12 or 14 races you have here, and I've already got, you know, when their season starts, I probably got 15 to 20 races under my belt. And that traveling, racing against other guys at their home track, when you can go to someone else's track and beat the fast guys at their home track, that's a really good feeling. It's a good accomplishment.
It's a big accomplishment. Yeah.
So it makes you work hard. So if you're only racing against, you know, fundamentally most of your races, whether there's a 20-car field or a 10-car field, comes down to two or three guys are going to battle out for the win. You know, you don't have all 20 cars battling for the win. So you get used to racing those different guys. That, you know, it just, that experience is invaluable.
There's one thing we're racing at the same track. You know who you're racing up against. You know, you learn their moves, where they go, where they don't go, high, low, how they race, okay, and you can adjust yourself. How do you adjust yourself going to a new track with guys who you never raced up against before? Because I find it valuable. I know the guys who I drive against. I know where their strengths are with their car. They know my strengths. They know my weaknesses. I know their weaknesses. So, I mean, how do you gain that knowledge?
Well,
that experience going up against these guys who you don't know.
That comes from the traveling and racing the different tracks. Me, the first thing I do when I get to a track I've never been before, I walk out and look at it. A lot of times I will skip the first hot lap session and watch the local guys just to see where they're running, kind of get an idea. Yeah, what line, you know. I'll learn more by watching the locals for one hot lap session than I will going out there trying to figure it out on my own. So a lot of times that experience, just going to all the different tracks, you can look at a track and usually tell the banking, the size, the shape of it. You can kind of figure out where the we call it the sweet spot, the fast groove is.
Right.
We went to Elma, Washington the first time up there. It was a $20,000 to win race.
Wow.
And never seen the track before. Dan and I walked out and looked at it. And everybody there local told us it's normally a sprint car track, and they ride the cushion right up by the wall. And we qualified with transponders. And I told Dan, I said, man, I think we can run the bottom. I think, you know, everybody that we had to draw for qualifying, they were running the top. I said, I think the bottom. I'm gonna gamble on this. I went to the bottom in qualifying, and I was about they had over 80 cars. I was about the 20th car out.
Wow.
I broke the track record. Everybody that went out after me went to the bottom.
No kidding. Monkey see, monkey do. Hey, it's working down there. This guy's got an idea. He's from out of town. And he goes and qualifies up top, racing the bottom.
Sometimes you just your experience, your gut feeling, you can look at a track and say, I'm going to try something different. And sometimes it works.
There you go. There's secret ladies.
Sometimes it don't work.
Sometimes it don't. Yeah, like duct tape on a drag chute. Well, that's something that, you know, if you're listening out there, sometimes it's better off just missing the first session. And if you're going to do traveling, and watch the local boys, how they take the track, and watching, looking, and listening, getting that education, let them educate you from the bleachers, and then go out and apply what you know.
Yeah. Like they say, sometimes you got to get out of the small pond and go out in the ocean.
Yeah. And, Joe, back to you. I mean, the traveling that you've done with Mark, I remember Mark had mentioned once, you're ready to travel, you're ready to go, but are you able to keep up with me? Am I not mistaken? I mean, getting phone calls on Wednesday, hey, we're leaving Friday, is your car ready to go?
You know, Mark was the guy that Mark and Dan taught me it's all about heart and racing. And if you want to do it, you're going to do it. And we met at the Boulder Junction out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. We would drive all the way down to El Centro. It would be Mark Allison, Dan Geiger, and Joe Farre with two modifieds. We had Mark was a driver, I was a driver, and we had one guy between us in the pits. We would race that race, turn around, and drive home that night back to Vegas. That's how bad we wanted to race. And when you have guys like Mark and Dan, and they're not just your competitors. They're your friend. They're characters. Those are the guys that you remember when you were 5 years old. We used to call him Grumpy Dan because he was a character. Like Dan said, he didn't give you anything for free, but boy, when you learned it, you felt like you earned it, you know. And that's really what kept me driving. We now compete in the SRL Southwest Tour. We travel to different states, and I'm going to tell you right now, this guy right here taught me about tour racing before I knew what tour racing was. And, you know, we use that experience every day.
Well, that says, see, Mark, you get somebody else looked up to you besides, you know, the fans out there.
I stop by Joe's shop or whatever. About at least every 2 weeks I stop and just check in on him, see what he's got going, marvel at all the engineering stuff he's got going, and he'll tell me the latest, greatest secret thing they're working on. So they're always up to something. But I also kind of help keep him in check. I remind him where his business is and where his fun is.
Well, that's something. I mean, you said earlier you knew somebody who actually graduated college, and we'll get into Joe Farre, who we have here. Thank you very much for coming in, along with Mark. We'll get into what you've done around here in Las Vegas when we come back from break. So if anybody out there has any questions, you're more than welcome to call in at 685-8116 for Mark Allison or Joe Farre. That's 685-8116. And we'll go to break now.
Chinas Pit Stop, your one and only food truck in Toronto. Come and get a Navajo taco, gyro, Philly cheesesteak, or a pulled pork sandwich. For dessert, a delicious strawberry fry bread. Let us cater your personal or office party. Follow us on Facebook for our daily specials. That's GNS Pit Stop, the one and only food truck you'll want to eat at again and again and again.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, TheBomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Pahrump Valley Speedway. Where? I said Pahrump Valley Speedway, your local dirt track. Take the kids or just get out of town for a night of exciting dirt track action. This quarter-mile diamond in the desert is just over the hump in Pahrump. The place to be on Saturday night with mini stocks, IMCA mods, cam coupes, and more. There's something for everybody at PahrumpValleySpeedway.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart, your used or old vehicle, and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me
me that which I desire. Ooh.
And we're back without the crash. That's good. Had a little bit of that this weekend, but we'll talk about Pahrump in a little bit. Once again, I'm J.J. Nunn, your host tonight with Mr. Gary Wyatt and special guest Mr. Joe Farre, along with Mr. Modified Mark Allison. And we're just summing up where we were and what we're doing. And of course, we've got a couple stories off the air once again. That's for sure. Now, Joe, you got an engineering degree. This is, you know, Mark had said, you know, yeah, I do know somebody who got a college degree.
Yes, I do. I do. But, you know, I think I've also earned a degree from the School of Hard Knocks, as Mark likes to say. And
I think we all have and still are.
That's right. That's right.
One time or another, we found the streets. I know at least I can say that. Or coming out of the gutter or so forth. Where'd you graduate from?
I graduated from the University of Pacific in Stockton, California, with a degree in civil engineering, and pretty much been a bridge engineer for most of my career. Anything to do with structures is kind of our forte.
So, if anything happens, as far as structures go, you got a number of structures here.
Oh, yeah.
You've built in Vegas Henderson.
I tell folks you can't go from one side of this valley to the other without crossing a bridge that I've either designed or worked on since I've been here. And it's nice to get back to the community and feel like you've done something. And to show your kids that you've done something that's kind of a lasting tribute to where you are, brings you part of the community. So it's kind
and
of
this is your architectural design that you've done, or your construction company, or I don't know.
We're a civil engineering firm, but my specialty is in bridge and transportation. We also have a very unique specialty that some people here in Vegas are very aware of. We actually specialize in demolition engineering, and we do implosion work. So you've seen some of the work where we've brought down these buildings here in Vegas, but we've done it not only here around the United States, but in New Zealand and other places where we've actually worked on imploding structures and bringing them to the ground, as well as doing it conventionally. So.
Oh, wow. I got to talk to you after. You don't implode cars at any time.
I was going
to
say, I've imploded a few motors in my day, unfortunately, as well. So
I need your number.
Yeah.
I need your number for that. And, Mark, what do you do? I still don't know what you do.
He inspects the bridges.
He inspects the bridges.
I work in construction management. I'm the guy that actually oversees the bridges that Joe designs, make sure they get built the way he designs them. So,
okay.
You know, our paths cross occasionally in the industry. We're both in the same industry but from a different perspective.
So basically, if you go out there and see something wrong, you go, hey, Joe, man, we need two off-ramps, not one. What happened?
Yeah.
Currently, I'm working on a bridge for Clark County Public Works. We're putting a bridge at Cactus and Rainbow over the railroad tracks. And
okay.
Joe's a guy I lean on once in a while. If there's some real technical stuff I'm not sure of, I can give Joe a call and he'll give me
just
some advice.
To sum it up, you don't work for Joe. You work for a whole different company.
Yeah. I work for a different company.
Yes.
Yeah. Our companies can cross paths. It's very common that I've interviewed for jobs that Joe's designed in the past. I actually use one of his designs as a benchmark because he's, I'll say, the best civil engineer in the valley by far. And when it comes to bridges, he's the number one guy. He's my go-to guy. Any questions on bridges, he's my guy.
So this is twofold. I didn't know this. What came first, the racing relationship or the business relationship?
Ah, that's a great question.
Let Joe tell that one.
Actually, that's a wonderful question. You know, I I work in an industry where you sit behind a desk with a, you know, a bunch of technical people all day. So a guy, you know, 16 years ago comes to me and says, all he hears that I play with race cars on the weekend and, you know, these people aren't your outdoors type folks. So he says, hey, you know, I work with the guy that has a car that looks just like that. Well, first of all, IMCA was relatively new, so I'm like, I'm sure this guy doesn't own an IMCA car. And the next thing is, you know, it's probably a drag car or something else. And he says, no, I'll come back next week. I'll tell you if I know this guy or not. So he comes back, and he says, yeah, I asked my buddy, and he owns these IMCA cars. And I said, huh, that's interesting. So the relationship goes on, and he says, we're racing out here. They had opened the half-mile dirt track out here.
At WMS.
Yeah, and I was pretty excited about running a modified on a half-mile dirt. He says, hey, I talked to my buddy. He's going to save you a pit stall next to him when you come out next week. Well, look, I've been in racing long enough to know if you don't know the guy you're going to park next to, you better very well check his references. And I didn't do a very good job with Mark, but anyway.
That's great.
So I tell this guy, you bet, and I did everything I could to avoid Mark Allis. I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. You know, I mean, I'm not going to – next thing you know, we're rolling in the dirt. I didn't know. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find out who this Mark Allison character is. Mark, you got to tell the other side of the story.
You got to refresh my memory.
Well, Mark says he's thinking the same thing about me. Yeah, going, I have no idea who this guy is. So,
that refreshed my memory. I was thinking the same thing as him. You know, you don't know someone, and you kind of a mutual friend told you about him. You don't really want to pit next to him because they could be the guy that gets you in a fight or gets in trouble or, you know, borrows everything.
Gary knows that.
A guy that has security or police on us all the time.
Gary found that out.
So we both kind of were a little standoffish at first about one another because we didn't know each other.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think a race or two in, we were both going, wow, that guy's a front-runner guy. You know, he and Dan had one of the most beautiful, straightforward operations, and I think he was like, hey, here's a really, you know, low-key guy in racing, and you know there's a lot of characters in racing, so for whatever reason our paths crossed, and I think they've been intertwined ever since.
Yep. We've been involved with the modifieds together, the speed trucks together, late models, all kinds of stuff. You know, I've actually traveled with Joe to Denver and crewed on his car before and just, you know, loaned him motors and just, you know, been like brothers almost ever since we met.
That's something. That's a rare story, you know. Yeah. It's a intertwined like that, you know.
Through a mutual friend.
Yeah, mutual friend, occupation, and along with racing. Not to go backwards, but going backwards, Joe, tell us some of the bridges and structures that you have built here in Las Vegas that you're able to stand back. You had mentioned something to me that you could bring the kids and say, hey, you know, you're proud of, this is what your dad created.
Yes.
Please mention some of those structures.
Both of the railroad bridges out in Boulder City. I was a designer of both of those railroad bridges for the Historic Railroad Museum. And
I've been on that train ride.
Have you been on that train
ride? Yeah.
So you crossed one of my – I told you you couldn't cross about.
I've been on that train ride.
Believe it or not, they're looking at extending that railroad across 95, 93 out there. So that, believe it or not, they're looking at extending that track.
They're going to bring it into Anderson?
Yeah, you'll probably have an overcrossing over the freeway. You know, there's a big – project in the future, I-11 or Boulder City Bypass that they're talking about. So there's a lot of transportation work that's going to happen on that side of the valley.
Okay, bring it into Henderson. Are they going to bring it into the Henderson Museum also there where they have trains and displays?
I mean,
could it come that way?
I don't think so. I think it crosses over and goes more towards the old Pepcon plant in that area and then eventually turns into the track that crosses I-15 and goes to the main line here.
Okay.
On the west side, I-15. But, you know, talking about the bridges, you're moving from Boulder City to Henderson Auto Show Interchange, all of those bridges there were structures that I'd worked on back in my early career. U.S. 95 Rainbow Curve, we did a lot of bridges up there. And just about every bridge from Sunset to State Line going southbound on I-15. We've worked that on one way, shape, or another. So I like to say you can't hardly cross this valley without going across a bridge that we've worked on.
Projects you got going on now that we can see out there, watching your designs be implemented?
I'll chime in. The Silverado Ranch Bridge is his. That's a really cool-looking bridge. It's really fancy. I like that one. It's got a lot of that fancy artwork and stuff on it. It's pretty cool.
And that's the one right near South Point.
Yeah, headed for, yeah.
That's right.
Silverado South Ranch.
That's
yep.
right. A few projects that you might see, and I know there's been some controversy over this, but we were the structural engineers behind the new zip line. That's
we deal nothing but controversy. Please, bring it on.
Well, I wasn't the architect, but I was the structural engineer that designed the towers for the zip line that's down at Fremont Street that goes under the canopy, which is now the largest slot machine in the world or something like that.
Cool.
But we did that work.
Yeah, I want to see Gary on the zip line. We got to go down there.
The zip line. People always ask me, are you going to go on the zip line? I said, are you crazy? I wouldn't put myself on one of those things, but we'll design the tower for you.
I designed it. I
ain't going to strap myself in and hang from wire, but I'll get behind the wheel of a 4,000.
You got it.
$4,000 modified motor and just blast down the straightaway and hope it hangs together and I'm not eating oil at the end of it.
You bet. You bet. There's probably a high-profile demolition job of a casino that I can't name at this point in time, but I'm sure you've read about it in the newspaper and we'll probably see soon. We're working on some things on that. Right now, there's a lot of big transportation jobs, which is good for this valley, by the way, putting a lot of people to work. But there's a lot of transportation jobs on the boards right now that will improve transportation at the Spaghetti Bowl project in particular. And then there is a big bypass project. They call it I-11 or Boulder City Bypass that will basically connect to the new bridge near Hoover Dam, and you'll go around the outside of Boulder City.
All right. Cool. There you go. Traffic advisories, people. Here they come.
Now, ask him about his racing, what he's got going with his racing.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's the question.
Well,
yeah. That's why I was headed back that way.
I call Mark and Dan Geiger master whittlers, so...
I call them something else, but they're master whittlers.
they really made me think, and if you think about guys that are running, the traditional three-link rear suspension. Here's Mark Allison running a leaf spring modified car, the fastest leaf spring modified car in, the Western U.S. So, I still go back to my dirt roots, but we've kind of evolved. We did some speed truck for a few years, and now we're heavily involved in the SRL Southwest Tour racing. And a few years ago, I started a project with the design of a new chassis, our own chassis.
Your own chassis.
And it was the first perimeter truck arm car out here in the West. A lot of people said you couldn't do it. I shouldn't say it's the first. It's the most recent design using truck arms. And a lot of people questioned that deal. Well, those cars went out and broke a lot of track records and won a lot of races in the last couple of years. And I guess it's the only thing I'm proud of. It's been outlawed from the SRL.
Really?
They felt like it was a technology that they weren't ready to quite embrace. So we're working very hard on a updated design and working with the SRL to try and bring back at least some of the chassis geometry. We do have some truck arm designs that you'll see here in Nevada, but unfortunately at this time we can't race them in the Tour. But you better believe we're going to bring them out here to the local races and show folks that some of this technology that people pass up, like truck arms, really works. And Mark proved it with leaf springs. I'm out to prove it with truck arms. And we got some neat stuff.
Dan had proved it with independent front suspension on his rat trap.
Yeah, he innovated that. He did.
The guys out there, those who don't know the late, great past Dan Geiger, running AA fuel altered straight liners, and those guys, Dan came out and put a independent front suspension on there, and those guys said, you're crazy. You're nuts. And within what, year, 2 years, all the AA alters had independent suspension on the front of those dragsters.
Like I told you earlier, about every couple of weeks I stop in Joe's shop. I'm really spying because he's got some pretty tricky stuff over there.
Speaking of that, and you got his address, right, Jay?
If he doesn't give it, I'm following.
There you go.
Somebody really, really did us, who we really respect and really support. One of the biggest reasons why we have you here is that you're doing something fantastic for a young lady that runs out at the bull ring by the name of Kaylee Barker. Can you start how you got involved with Miss Kaylee Barker and Ron Barker and Vicky?
I would be proud to. A year and a half ago or so, we started, when we're not off racing, I like to go out to the bull ring and just kind of watch local racing. And Dana Stahl, a friend of Mark's here, we were chatting in the pits, and he says, I got to introduce you to this young lady, Kaylee Barker. And, we watched her for a year, and, Dana just kept telling me, boy, this young lady has her head on straight. She's pointing in the right direction. I think she has some real talent. She just needs the right people around her and some opportunities. So we spent over a year kind of watching Kaylee develop, and, she got some unique opportunities both in the Chargers and Super Stocks and then up into some super late stuff. And, with Dana's help really putting together a super late program for her, he said, hey, what do you think about jumping in and giving this girl a shot in the super lates? And so I was able to meet with Kaylee and her parents. And, I think it's a perfect example of my relationship with Mark. I tell people a lot of my success in my career and in my racing career has been because of the people I've surrounded myself with. And one of the things that people ask me, why do you work or sponsor Kaylee Barker? And I tell them, because these are just good people, and we need good people in racing.
Yes.
These are the people that lend you their motor out of their car. They'll tow your motor home to the rest stop when you got a blown tire. And Kaylee and her parents are the type of people that make racing fun and enjoyable and safe and make me proud to be an associated part of local racing. And one thing that I'm guilty of is I haven't spent a lot of time here at the bull ring. I traveled a lot. We've done a lot of touring out of town.
Right.
And I wanted to make a connection back with local racing. And I couldn't pick a better person and family to be involved with than Kaylee Barker and that group.
We will not disagree with you at all. It's Ron and Vicky are absolutely fabulous. Gary's story
for
with that.
Me and the Barkers. Ron and I used to be on the same team back in 99, 2000. Kaylee couldn't even walk when I met her. She was
still in a carrier.
Yeah, in a carrier. Yeah. Ron would bring her in the carrier, stuff her in the corner while we worked on the super late model. At the time, they were late models. And I've just watched the young lady grow up, and I'm proud of her.
Proud of her. She's a straight-A student.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have heard that.
Oh, yes. That's requirement number one when we first had her on the show 2 years ago.
You got it. And I'll tell you, yesterday afternoon, she was in my shop from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night. She took a motor out of a super late model. She took a motor out of a tour car. And when she got done with that and the guys packed up and left at 5:30, she started working on her own car in that shop. That young lady is not just a great person. She's a true racer. She's got the heart, and she wants to learn. And those are the kind of people that are going to keep this whole racing thing going. And I couldn't be happier than to be associated with folks like that. They're Mark and that type of character people are why I went racing and why I will continue to go racing.
Well, Mark,
like Joe alluded to, surrounding yourself with good people, he's got two of the best guys I've ever seen working in his shop. Dana Stahl and Jimmy Parker, they're top-notch race car guys. All around setup, fabrication, building, working on setting them up, and even giving a driver some advice on how to drive the car and set up and all that. They were both outstanding guys. And that's
real quick, I don't want to take nothing from your guys, but Kaylee Barker finished second in the second
race this weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway in that brand new Super.
And that young lady, you know, brought out a beautiful car, and she was very proud of it. It was a pristine car. She had a little fender bender there in the first race, and I'll tell you what, she buffed up.
She came back.
She buffed up. She muscled that thing up, and I'll tell you, she was a different driver in that second race, and very quick to adapt. And she's got, you know, hey, we all got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, watch this young lady. She's got the heart. She's got the right sentiment, and she's got the right people around her. And, you know, I think she's going to go places. We're just happy to be a part. It's really funny because I always tell them, you know, someday you're going to look back and you're going to tell me, hey, thanks for everything. I got to go. And they said, no, we're going to tell you. You're coming with us. And that just goes to show you their character. You know what I mean?
They are. Ron and Vicky are absolutely tremendous.
I didn't
want to
take
nothing
from Dana Stahl or Jimmy Parker.
Yeah.
There's a tie to Kaylee and Dan Geiger. Dan, the first race she won, Dan built the motor for her.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, her and her mother were at Dan's funeral.
In the Super Stock.
Yeah, I think it was a Superstock. Yeah,
well, Charger then.
Yeah, whatever it was. Her first NASCAR win that they gave her the acclaim to, Dan built the motor for that car.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah, see, that we didn't know.
Kind of a small world we're all tied together.
Yeah,
we
didn't
and
know.
And you're right. Vicky and Kaylee was at Dan's funeral.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's amazing how somebody like Dan reached all the different venues of racing and different people.
One way or another, you touched
a lot of people.
A lot of people out there.
You know, and I still say he was a grumpy old man. But
Grumpy Dan, that's what we call him.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting, we were talking about how we all started racing or have come from different forms, but it's an awesome opportunity to walk out in our shop and see like guys like Jimmy Parker, Dana Stahl, Greg Knight. Those are characters. I mean, each one of them brings something different. I mean, they are tenured racers, and then you bring in a mix of girls like Kaylee, you know, Mark, myself. We've got a young driver, Donnie St. Hours, drives our tour car. You know, it's that character mix that we need to keep racing, and you have to bring that history. And you know, to me, it's like smoked flavor or whatever. You know, these people are what make racing what racing is. I don't want a sterile racing. I don't want to go IndyCar racing. You know what I mean? I want to go NASCAR racing. And we're very fortunate not only to have the characters that we have, but also to see that there are young people out there that are enthusiastic, that have work ethic and passion and desire to go racing. And I'm honored to be a part of it, quite frankly.
I'm just watching your face describing. You are so happy, so intense, and so excited to be doing this. I mean, our fans can't see it, but this is real. This is from the heart.
24 years, and I love it every day, and I'm so excited for them. And I'm telling you, I would not pass up one of these opportunities for any money or career or anything else. I used to tell the folks, I worked in a big corporate office, and I used to tell them, guys like us bring culture to companies like this. And when Mark Allison comes into my office or anybody else, you know, we'd go to meetings. I'd go to board meetings. I had to keep my hands underneath the table because I still had grease under my fingernails from working on the race car that weekend.
I think we all did.
That's racing to me, you know.
Yeah, one time or another. Well, you know I can say for myself, we appreciate, you know, what you're doing for Kaylee, what Dane does and what Jimmy Parker does. You know, anybody out there, you know, get behind Kaylee. We had an experience with Kaylee. We brought her out to Touch a Truck, one of our charity events.
Day he was there picking, when Ron was picking the car up at 5 in the morning. He was,
and brought the car out there, you know. There's two things that stand out. One on the back of the car that says, "You've just been passed by Daddy's little girl."
Yep.
And Kaylee's had some interviews, some articles, and there's two, three of them where I heard that one question asked that really impresses me and says something a lot about Kaylee is when the question of, do you plan on being the next Danica Patrick? And she says, no, I plan on being the next Kaylee Barker.
The first Kaylee Barker.
The first Kaylee Barker.
That is exactly
right.
So
this young lady is grounded, fantastic. Check out her website, kayleebarker.com. She's got a couple charities that she supports. And we look forward to seeing her in victory lane. Almost close, the second race. Second race, the Wizard got around her out there. You know,
she led, what, 20 laps? I was not out there. I was racing my car in Pahrump, but
right.
Just from what I'm gathering up,
led 20 laps, and, you know, she went door-to-door, fought off a couple hard charges by Dennis Rock and some tenured guys back there. And, you know, Scotty got her, and, you know, hats off to Scotty, too. You know, he's got some seat time, and I'll tell you what, you know, she's going to do good racing with Scotty and those guys out there and everybody else. I mean, there was a good group of people, and you know as well as I do, everybody goes out there with their heart, and they go out there to win. And it was just neat to see Kaylee have some early success. I definitely think you'll see more of it, and, you know.
Well, this is a brand-new car. I mean, third race in, and this is a brand-new car. So not to rush at all for anything, Joe, who do you have out there to thank? Who are your sponsors over the years? You know, leading all the way from when you started getting out there, where's your support? Who you want to thank? Give us an idea.
You know, I have to thank Mark Allison, Dan Geiger, Greg Knight, Jimmy Parker, Dana Stahl. You know, these folks have been there, built motors and helped me race. We haven't had a lot of financial support, to be quite frank, and I know all of us have gone through this where you're looking for sponsors and things, so I focused on starting my own company so I could help kind of fund some of this racing.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing out there for Kaylee. We got somebody on the phone there, Gary?
Yes, we do.
Who do we got out there?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. Let's bring them on. Who do we got out there? You're calling in to On Wheels now.
Hey, guys. It's Kaylee.
Hey, yes,
hey.
We know that voice. How are you doing, girl? Have fun this past weekend or what?
Yeah, this is amazing. I couldn't do it without Joe, that's for sure.
See that, Joe? She still appreciates. She'll appreciate everybody out there who's giving her a hand. She did, you know. It's great.
I think she's calling in to say she's not going to be into the shop until 8:15 tomorrow. That's really what she's calling in for.
Oh, that's right. It's spring break. Oh, she's going to be there. That's for sure.
Well, Kaylee, we're very proud of you and, you know, once again, of you and your family. And we couldn't be more proud and want to just wish you a lot of success. And it looks like you got some other fans here in the studio as well, so it's kind of exciting to see that you know, your influence is pretty wide, Kaylee.
Thank you.
Hello? Okay. We're there. You know, Kaylee, you ran two races this weekend. I think the first one was sixth. You finished and finished second, and you had one of the toughest guys out there, get by us, Scotty. You want to take us through that, having him on your tail coming at you?
Well, I started on the pole, and then I knew I had to get away fast before Scotty caught me because I believe he started sixth. And so I led the first 19 or 21 laps or something like that, and then my dad was telling me that he was gaining on me. So I was like, all right. And Scotty's an amazing driver, so I knew he was going to come get me eventually, but I just hoped it was a little bit later. But my goal was just to lead half the race, and I did that, so I was pretty happy.
That's fantastic. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Kaylee Barker, driver for Dana Stahl, and Mr. Joe Farre here in the studio, and Jimmy Parker Sr. All right, Kaylee, is there anybody you want to thank real quick while we got you online?
Joe, of course, Jimmy, Greg, Dana. Without Dana, I wouldn't be here because he built the car. Amazing car. ExecuClean, and Roger Seymour for taking all the amazing pictures.
Well, Kaylee, congratulations. It's just a matter of time. Once you get used to that car, you're pretty damn used to it now, finishing up second place. Hopefully we'll be able to get out there and eventually see you in victory lane. You got a lot of people behind you. You're a great kid. Keep on doing what you're doing, and we wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. We'll get you in here for an update on what's going on, maybe during summer break, Kaylee.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, hold on. Mr. Mark Allison here wants to...
I talked to Dana about Kaylee a little bit, and I said, we need to put her in one of them dirt cars and see how she wheels one of them. And Dana has a lot of confidence in her. He thinks she could wheel a dirt modified, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Might work something out there.
Well,
I know she can wheel a dirt bomber.
There you go.
We've had her out there in Gary's bomber, so,
yeah.
You know... that was the first step for ever on dirt and never in that car. And what was that, second place?
Yeah, she finished second.
Yeah,
second.
Yeah,
and
so.
Won the heat.
She won her heat, and she led 8 or 10 laps in the main event.
Yeah.
In the dirt for the first time ever in the dirt. Like we alluded to, that seat time. You look at both the Dillon boys have dirt modifieds.
Yes.
You know, the Busch boys ran the dirt and the pavement modifieds, you know.
Yeah.
So, anytime you can get anything that's got a seat and a steering wheel, take advantage of it.
Well,
oh, yeah.
There you go, Kaylee. Got a bunch of people behind you, and just want to say thanks a lot for calling in and listening every week. We appreciate it. Say hello to Mom and Dad for us, and keep that charity work up, girl. Rescue them dogs.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. That was Kaylee Barker, ladies and gentlemen. Super late model racer out there at... Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We're going to wrap it up. I got a couple sponsors to thank. First, I want to thank Joe Farre. Thank you very much for coming in and everything that your support and your team does for Kaylee Barker out there. Mark Allison, once again, thanks a lot for filling in the spot. Unfortunately, we don't have our head host here, Michael Reffler. Good old on-call.
Yeah.
You know, you can always count on Mark to be there when a racer needs him or... A racing radio show needs them. Thanks once again for coming in.
I'll keep the secret stuff I saw again. under my hat.
Will you get Tim to cover that crap?
On the way out, Joe, I'll show you their secret bomber stuff. They got some secret stuff. We got some secret weapons out there.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me.
There are weapons that we can throw out the window because they're broke. But,
Ben.
I just want to thank everybody for listening to OnWheelsNow.com. We'll be back on air at 6 o'clock next Tuesday. Anything else
you
want to say?
Any sponsors?
I can't help but mention my firm, Sigma Engineering Solutions and Sigma Racing here in Las Vegas. And if anybody's looking to go tour racing or open comp super late model racing, hey, get a hold of us. You can get a hold of the studio. They'll know how to get a hold of us, or 702-247-4462. And, you know, anybody racing. Well,
that wasn't the address.
Team.
That was the phone number.
That was the phone number.
You need the
we should track the phone number.
Yeah.
That's all.
There you go.
We'll see. You work on bombers?
Well, it looks like we might be going that way. New division.
For a fee, JJ, I'll...
Oh,
I'll sneak you into the shop and show you some really great
stuff. All right, just want to thank out there, Nevada Pick Apart, Camp Out, Reliable Banner, Pick Art Radiator, D&N Equipment, PinkMail.org, and, of course, our one and only G&S Pit Stop. Thank you very much for tuning in. Once again, we'll be back next Tuesday, and hopefully we'll have our fearless leader, Mr. Michael Reffler. Once again, Joe Farre, thanks for coming in. Mr. Mark Allison, appreciate
anytime.
It. You know, it's great. Short notice, fantastic. Mr. Gary Wyatt, congratulations on your fourth win down on Pahrump Valley Speedway this past weekend.
Yes,
that's
thank
four
you.
In a row. No racing next weekend at Pahrump Valley Speedway, but we will be down there on the 26th. And we'll be back here next Tuesday. Once again, 6 o'clock. Thanks a lot to all our fans and our new fans for tuning in to listening. OnWheelsNow.com. I'm JJ Nunn. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.